Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for raising your Son from the dead. Vindicating and glorifying Him. May we be in awe of Jesus today. May we worship and honor Him. As we come now to the Scriptures that speak of Him, open our hearts and give us faith to hear and believe. And by your grace, through your mercy, take your word, through the power of your Spirit, apply it to our hearts and our lives so that we might be transformed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand for the reading of our sermon text this morning? Acts chapter 10. Beginning in verse 34, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears Him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with Him. We are witnesses of everything He did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed Him by hanging Him on a cross, but God raised Him from the dead on the third day and caused Him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about Him, that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. This is God's Word. You may be seated. The world sure could use some peace, couldn't it? I don't know about you, but I'm a little tired of the news and all that is happening. You know, there are entire industries and movements that are based on the quest to find peace. Insurance and financial planners promise you that if you invest or buy into their product, you will have peace of mind and your family will have peace of mind. We have counselors and therapists and self-help seminars and gurus who offer you peace of heart. Just shell out a little bit of money and follow their directions and your life will be a little more peaceful. You know, we have people who are demonstrating and protesting today, and you know, every few months, the issue changes, doesn't it? Right now, the issue du jour is the Second Amendment. We have people who are saying, ban the guns, and we have people saying, let's buy more guns. But what's motivating both sides is a desire for peace, right? The people who say, get rid of the guns, they're saying, hey, we're tired of this violence in our schools, and I say amen to that. The people are saying, no, let's get more guns. They say, you know what? We want to protect our families. We want to protect our freedoms. And if we can't protect ourselves, there can be no peace. And I understand that too. But at the heart of both sides, people just want peace, don't they? People are hungry for peace. People are longing for peace. And everybody's looking for it, but we just can't seem to find it, can we? Are you looking for peace today? Maybe you're at rock bottom and everything is falling apart for you. I have good news for you today. Maybe you're just tired of the chaos in this world and you wonder, can anybody fix this mess? I've got some good news for you today. Maybe your life is a train wreck. You are broken and bloodied. You are lonely and hurting. You are afraid because of the things that have happened to you. It's not necessarily because of the choices you've made, but all of a sudden, beyond what you have done, beyond what you have chosen for yourself, tragedy has come upon you and you're just hanging on by a thread and the thread is fraying. It's about to snap. And you just want peace. I've got good news for you today. Maybe on the outside, people look at you and think, man, you've got it put together. On the outside, everything seems to be going your way. You are successful. You're well-respected. Everything seems to be coming up roses for you, at least the way that everybody else sees you. But inwardly, you know something's missing. You feel empty. You feel frustrated. When you heard U2 sing, "I still haven't found what I'm looking for," you said, "Yeah, that's me. I got good news for you today." No matter who you are, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what your future holds, no matter what you want deep down inside, there's good news. God offers you peace. He offers you peace of mind. He offers you peace of heart. He offers you peace in your soul. He offers the good news of peace for those who are looking for it and reaching for it. This morning I want you to understand that peace is found in a particular person. You see this in verses 36 to 38. Peter is preaching a sermon here and he said, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." Peter proclaims the good news of peace through Jesus. And the reason that Jesus is able to bring us good news of peace is because He is Lord of all. Now, when Peter is preaching this sermon, we date it sometime around 37 to 40. So it's in the first century, the early part of the first century. Peter is preaching the sermon in a city called Caesarea. And in Rome, the emperor is a guy named Caligula. You might remember him from your history classes or maybe from popular culture, because Caligula was notorious for his debauchery and lasciviousness. He was a vile and wicked man. Caligula got into his mind that he was not just God's gift to earth, but he was God on the earth. And he started to dress like one of the Roman gods. In some of the official legal documents of the day, he is referred to as Jupiter, who was the supreme Roman god. That's how he stylized himself. He demanded that the people honor him as a Roman deity. He insisted that people call him Lord of all. And if you didn't do it, you were in trouble. So when Peter calls Jesus Christ Lord of all, he is using this phrase that the emperor would have applied to himself. Caligula claimed to be a god, promised to bless those who honored him, but there was no real blessing. He was a wretched man who was so horrible, he was finally assassinated by his guards. Most of the people of the Roman Senate agreed with this course of action. They said, "This guy is wrecking us. Let's get rid of him." He was no Lord who brought blessing. He was a curse. You know, in our day, there are a lot of people who are like Caligula. They like to run around and say, I'm Lord. I'm the one who has all the answers for you. You trust me. You follow me. You buy into me. I will make your life better. And we've done it. We bought into some lies. We have put our hopes and our dreams and our aspirations on certain people, on things, hoping that that would fix our lives. Whether it was getting the job that we wanted, that if we just had that job, that's going to fix everything in my life. I just need to get out of this dead-end job. I need to get away from those people. I need to get this job over here, and my life is going to be better. And then it happens, and it's not better, is it? You think, you know what, if I can just get married to that person right there, whether you're deciding to leave this family who's just a headache and get married to that person over there, or maybe you've never been married, you think, oh, once I get married to him or once I get married to her, life is good. And then you do it and you realize it doesn't. It doesn't work that way. You think, if I can just hit retirement, if I can just muscle through a couple more years, I can hit retirement, I will be at peace. You know how many people I've met who are retired who do not experience peace? A lot of them. We put our hopes in these false lords who promise us that if we just have them, if we submit to them, give ourselves over to them, they will give us peace. And they don't. We keep looking and searching. And we can't find the peace we're looking for. That's because peace is found in a particular person, Jesus Christ. Only God brings true peace, and He only does it through His Son, Jesus. Jesus alone is Lord, and He proved it throughout His life. Peter briefly summarizes the life of Jesus for us here in this passage. Verse 37, he says, you know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. Jesus was baptized. He came onto this scene, and he said, I'm here to be baptized. And John said, oh, Jesus, wait a minute. I need to be baptized by you, not me baptizing you. You need to baptize me. Jesus said, no, we're going to fulfill all righteousness. And sure enough, Jesus was baptized, and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove comes upon Jesus, anointing him with power. The voice of God the Father is sounded from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. And then from there, Jesus goes out and he starts healing the sick. All those people that he encountered who were deaf, he touched their ears and they could hear. The people who were blind, he'd spit in the ground, make some mud, wipe mud on their eyes, and then wipe it off, and then they could see. The people who were leprous and driven out of society, Jesus came and he touched them and he healed them of their leprosy and restored them. There were even people who had died. And Jesus comes along and he says, get up. And they came back to life. He healed diseases. He encountered people who were demon-possessed, who were seized by devils, tormented and tortured by the demonic. And Jesus drove those demons away and set them free. So that when they were out of their minds, their right minds came back. When they spent their days living in cemeteries and throwing themselves into the fire and into the water, Jesus drove those demons out of them and they were able to be clothed and in their right minds. Jesus came in power to deliver people from all that would afflict them. He exercised authority and power over things that no human being could control. Blindness and deafness and lameness and leprosy. He commanded the weather. How many times do you wish that you could control the weather? Jesus spoke a word, and the tornadoes, the hurricane, the gale force wind stopped in an instant. That's powerful. Jesus turned the water into wine and he fed thousands with a few dinner rolls and sardines. The Bible tells us all about what he did in Galilee and in Judea, the country of the Jews. He demonstrated time and time again that he is the one who has the power to make things right in this world and to satisfy the deepest needs of our hearts. And Jesus did all of these things because God the Father was with him. Not with Caligula, not with religious orders, not with certain ethnic groups, but with Jesus. And because of Jesus' power and authority, he can reorder our lives today so that we can have peace. If you're looking for peace today, you only find it in Jesus. Only Jesus can fix your life. Only Jesus can bring peace to this world. We see that peace is found in a particular person. It's also secured through a particular event. Verses 39 and 40, peace comes by way of the cross. Peter goes on to say, verse 39, we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. Now, isn't this just like us? We finally get the one who can fix everything and we decide to kill him. The one who can solve our deepest problems and meet our greatest needs, we execute him. That's what the Jews did. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God, that's a great phrase, isn't it? But God. We go do something stupid, but God. That's some good news for some of you today. Let's be honest. How many of you have done something stupid this week? How many of you have believed something stupid this week? How many of you tried something stupid this week? Yeah. We have done something stupid. But God. God comes. Because God's just that way. God comes. Praise God. He comes for stupid people. He comes for broken people. He comes for messed up people. He comes for people who would nail his son to a cross. They nailed him to a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. This is how peace comes to us. Jesus, the man of peace, suffers violence, the worst violence ever committed against a person when he was nailed to a cross. Jesus, completely innocent of all wrongdoing, completely innocent of any sin, the only person to walk the face of this earth, completely pure, completely righteous, condemned as a sinner, yet vindicated by God through the resurrection. Even though Jesus didn't deserve death, and even though it was a sinful and wicked act for people to nail him to the cross, it was not an accident. He died not in a mistake. He didn't stumble to the cross. He wasn't tricked and he wasn't trapped. He purposefully chose the cross because it's through the cross that he brings us peace. Jesus died to pay the penalty of sin for us. He bore the weight of the penalty that should come upon you and me. He died to make us holy and blameless and perfect before God because we could never do it for ourselves. He died to obtain for us all the things that are good for us. He died to reconcile us to God and bring us back to God. He died to set us free from the slavery to sin. He died to rescue us from the final judgment of hell. He died so that we would not need to fear death. He died to redeem this broken world and set everything that is wrong right. And he did so much more through his death. Jesus died, but he didn't just stay dead. He rose from the dead. Today, Jesus is alive. He is alive. He is in heaven. He is with us in spirit. He is preparing a place for us. He is interceding for us. He is supplying us with the strength that we need. He is guiding us in our destinies. Friends, when you know that Jesus died to redeem your life, that He rose so that you could have new life, and one day He is coming again to complete what He started, you can have peace. Because in it all, through it all, you can trust Him. And you can trust in His indomitable power to complete what He has begun. Outwardly, we will have trials and tribulations, but inwardly, we can have confidence and joy and peace because Jesus is Lord, He is Savior, and He's alive. Peace comes through a particular person. It's accomplished by a particular event. But friend, you will experience peace through a particular response. Verse 43. All the prophets testify about Him, about Jesus, that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. Why are things such a mess in this world? Why are things such a mess in my life? And the answer to that question is sin. Because of sin, we don't have peace. Sin alienates us from God, who is the source of all that is good. Sin corrupts every blessing that God has intended for us to experience. Sin wrecks us. What is sin? Sin, if you look back up in verse 35, if your Bible's still open, Peter says, God accepts from every nation the one who fears Him and does what is right. Sin is not fearing God, having no respect and reverence for God, and doing what's wrong. That's what sin is. Sin says, God, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. And when you do that, you always do what's wrong. You're like the kid in the kitchen. Mom says, don't touch the stove. And says, I don't care what you say, Mom. What do you think? I'm all 4 years old. I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to touch that pan. And then you get burned. You don't respect Mom. And you do what's wrong, even though you do what you think is right. To have peace that Jesus offers, you have to come to Him in belief and receive forgiveness of your sins. You got a sin problem that you have to deal with. And if it's not dealt with, there is no peace. Because you see, your lack of peace right now is not primarily rooted in the conflict that you're experiencing with other people. The lack of peace does not originate with a conflicted spirit or soul within you. The lack of peace that you experience finds its origin, its genesis, in the lack of peace that you have with God. Because you are separated from God because of sin, because you're alienated from God because of sin, it messes everything else up, and everything else is off. So you got to get that relationship right first. And once that gets right, then everything else starts to come into alignment as well. And the way that happens is through this word, believes. Everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness. Now, there's a lot packed into that word. Believing in Jesus means that you agree with God about your condition, that you are a sinner, that you've disobeyed Him, and you made a mess of your life. Believing means seeing Jesus as your Lord who died for your sins and rose from the dead to forgive you of your sins. And believing means you trust in Him alone, giving Him your life to be your Savior and Lord. That's what it means to believe. It's not just knowing about Jesus, having information about Him. It's giving your life to Him. Jesus, I believe You by giving myself to You. And this morning, the good news is anyone is welcome to do that. Everyone is called to do this. All of us are invited. Do you see this in verse 34? Peter said, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. God doesn't play favorites. He works through certain people in history. He chose a particular nation, the Jewish nation, to enact and bring about this plan of salvation. But it wasn't exclusive for them. It was for everyone. And this morning, God doesn't play favorites, because every single person in this room can have forgiveness of sins. You can have peace with God. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad you have messed up. God is here if you'll turn to Him. And He offers you peace. If you don't have peace today, it's because you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This morning, if you're a Christian and you're not experiencing that peace, it's because you've stopped trusting in Jesus. You've not lost your salvation, but you've forgotten the gospel. So this morning, I want to plead with you, stop looking for peace in all the wrong places. Stop looking for peace where there is no peace. Trust in Jesus, who died for you and who rose from the dead to bring you peace. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the peace that we have through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead. May His life give us hope and fill us with joy and secure our peace today. I pray for the salvation of the lost. And if there's anyone here who is not a Christian, may they call out to Christ today. Father, your word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray that there are men and women, boys and girls, who are calling out to the Lord to be saved. Father, I pray for the Christians who are here. May we rest secure in our peace. And may we be messengers of peace, just like Peter was. Help us to go and be witnesses and tell others. May we be the ambassadors of peace that this world so desperately needs. May Jesus be exalted today. We ask this for the glory and renown of your name. Amen.